And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is April 27, 2025, and we welcome you folks out there, and we thank you for being here. It is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to start off with that song. This is the day. Sing it like you mean it.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. We will sell.
Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us to come to gather together with those that are out there, that those that join us with through DVD Church and through the Internet. Father, we're grateful for all of those to come together. We're thankful for the body of Christ. Lord, we're so grateful for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, and we thank you that we can see your hands at work and that you are our King and that we are your people, and we praise you for that. We just ask that you continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us in the paths of righteousness, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you guide us by your hands. Lord, we confess our sins, known and unknown. Just ask, Father, that you continue to do a work through your people. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, and we just ask, Father, for a continued awakening of your people. Continue to awaken your people up and stimulate them. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. Well, there is a lot of stuff that's been going on, and I'm excited about it. And, you know, just looking at the calendar, it's like, how did it get to be the end of April already? Time has been flying, and you know, just looking at the calendar, we're not that, we're just around the corner from May. And I had two people that emailed me this week, and they were wanting to know when baby Rachel's birthday was. And that is coming up next Saturday. And it is 18 years since we fought those battles and had baby Rachel in the hospital. And that has went by awful fast. It was on a couple of the messages that we had recently. Pastor Peters was talking about some of that stuff, and it's just hard to believe that 18 years has gone by. That kind of almost wants to make me feel old, but I'm not going to claim that. But yeah, that was 18 years ago this coming week, and so many things that have taken place over the last couple of years and the past couple months, and you know, just trying to get these newsletters out has been a full-time job. And we just before we got up here, we had some technical difficulties with the computer back there, and I'm looking at this computer and I was thinking that, well, I just put this thing into service not that long ago, and it's a Windows 7 machine, and it's about 15 years old, and it doesn't owe us anything, but Lord willing, we are streaming. We are recording, I hope. If we're not, I'm sure somebody will start sending messages to my phone and I can hear it. But, yeah, do appreciate those. There's a lot of computer stuff involved here as far as getting stuff out. I've been working on trying to get a lot of stuff upgraded. Do appreciate your patience with us. We're trying to make as easy as possible, and trying to get get away from the technical difficulties that we've had. But just got a lot of stuff to work through. There's a lot of equipment involved, and bear with us and be patient with us. Do appreciate it. I know that there was a couple of people that emailed me and said that they were having problems with the DVD church, and it's skipping and not playing. And again, if you're having problems, let me know. I was able to talk one gentleman through, and I think it was his DVD player. There was some other stuff that I'm just not sure. But if you do have problems with those DVDs, with the CDs, anything like that, please, I can't fix it if I don't know what's wrong. So please get a hold of me. Let me know so I can get the problems fixed. That's what I'm here for. And you can email me, jason@sfaw.org. You can call the office. You can write to us, whatever. Send up smoke signals, whatever you prefer. I'll try to get back with you. I've been real busy, and I am kind of behind on some correspondence lately, but things like the technical issues and stuff, I try to address that as a priority, because I want to make sure that you're getting the church service and you're able to view that. So please, don't assume that somebody else already told me or anything like that. Reach out. You're not wasting my time. That's what I'm here for. So please keep that in mind. You know, as the world has been talking about the things that have been taking place, you know, we had this, yesterday on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, we talked about, you know, the Pope died, and should we really care? And there's a lot of stuff that's coming out about, you know, this Pope being the worst Pope that they ever had. I don't know if there ever has been a good one, to tell you the truth. But we do know that this one was a Jesuit, and it seems like under this Pope there was a lot of things that changed. A couple of the things that we've covered over the last couple of months was just the money laundering schemes that the Catholic charities have taken and been involved in, and as far as how they have been one of the, you know, biggest groups, biggest organizations as far as smuggling these illegals into the United States and getting them all over the place. And, you know, that stuff is coming out. We've been talking about it for quite some time, but it's coming out and it's being brought to light, and I'm excited about it. That Catholic Church is you know, been a mess, and it's not Christian. And I was disturbed this week when I was sitting in the front of the post office, and I was trying to figure out why the flags were at half mast, and I had to look it up because I didn't see it on the news, and figured out that, yeah, we got it for this Pope that you know, is a Jesuit Antichrist. That's why those flags are at half mast. But you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to get sidetracked off of that. We hopefully had some different stuff planned for this morning, but we're gonna switch gears a little bit. You know, that's what we're about. We're about variety here, and we go with the flow. But I think we're gonna have a little bit of hobo stew this morning. I ran across this, and I think that it is I think it's timely, and I hope you enjoy this. But this is Pastor Peters with a little bit of hobo stew.
And greetings in the blessed holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the saints of the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel. Now, I know what you're saying. He doesn't look like a preacher. I know. I've got my Radio Ranch Wrangler duds on today. And normally I come down here from the Radio Ranch to the LaPorte Church of Christ, put my preaching duds on, and bring you a scriptural insight and study. But it's been a busy week. I've been attending to ministry needs and prayers over the sick. And as a result, I haven't been able to get on the radio this week on a nightly basis like I wanted to. And I haven't been able to do a lot of the preparations I even wanted for this particular study, which I'm going to call Hobo Stew. Before we go further, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that your Holy Spirit would grant an anointing upon me, upon this broadcast, when it's heard, upon the DVD church, when it's watched and heard, upon the CDs and the tapes. And, oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that it would be a savory meal for the saints, that it would be nourishing, feeding them, and helping them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Direct and guide me in it. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing that's probably coming to your mind is, why would I name this study, Scriptural Insight and Study, Hobo Stew? The Bible says there's the meat of the Word and the milk of the Word. We've talked about that many a time. And I was thinking about, when I come down here in a hurry to get this study prepared and sent out to you, that Pastor Earl Jones talked to me once about Hobo Stew. Now, I talked to you last week about the need to be teachable. Blessed are the meek. That was our study last week. What does the word meek mean? It means teachable. By the way, the Lord kind of had me in a situation this week where I had to practice what I preached, so to speak. But anyway, I learned a lot from Pastor Earl Jones. He taught me a lot. I always found one thing in life. If you can find an older man that's been down the road, and he'll share his wisdom with you, do all you can to sit at his knee, so to speak, and learn from him. Pastor Earl Jones told me that during the Depression, when things were hard, him and his brother, it was before World War II, him and his brother started riding the rails. They were looking for work, and he told me about the hobo towns. And they would come riding into a hobo town on those railroad boxcars. And he said there was always a big pot of cooking stew. It's called Hobo Stew. And he said if you were a hobo, it was expected of you to put some food into that pot. Maybe you had a can of beans or whatever you might have. He said people would come along before you could take something out of it. You put something in there. And he said it was the greatest taste in stew. He said it was really very savory. And I have found that my Acres of Diamond Men give me a lot of very valuable insight to things. And I like to sometimes just take and share them with you. Sometimes I only like to tell you I got them from the Acres of Diamond Men because you'll think that I'm wise because you think, well, Pastor Peters comes up with all this stuff. Not always. But that's neither here nor there. Not only are you to be teachable, but if someone teaches you something, don't try to claim their credit for it like all of a sudden you came up with it. Now, one of the things, going back in a little bit of review from the last scriptural study and insight that I feel led to tell you about, is that, as I pointed out in that last scriptural insight and study, pride will hinder us from being teachable. And I was thinking about this as an illustration. I have a friend of mine that he wants to know more about the Anglo-Israel truth. And he kind of reads our newsletter, but he was once a preacher and he quit. And you'll find these guys that were once a preacher and they didn't stay with it. They have a real problem with the man that did stay with preaching, and he has a little bit of that problem. And sometimes we've had lunch, and he'll ask me a few questions, but he just barely wants to ask. And, well, yeah, I know about that. I know about that. And he doesn't want to become a student of mine because he doesn't want to put himself in that position because he should be on the equal. I know what's going on in his mind. I'm not trying to judge him. I just know how it works because I've been there. And this week I was there in a place in Texas where I was around a real cowboy. And there's a difference between riding horses and raising horses. And there's a difference between riding horses and training horses. And I realized that this Texas cowboy, he knew how to train horses. When I was growing up and the way my daddy did things, I'd never even heard of a round pin. But you see, cowboys are very prideful. They don't want the other cowboy to think they don't know just as much about that, that they don't have just as much horse sense as the other cowboy. That's all nonsense. And when I was around that cowboy, I just started asking him questions. And I asked him this question, that question about round pens. I asked him about horses, about weaning, about so forth and so on. And you know, when I allowed myself to become a student, a pupil, so to speak, he was willing to share his knowledge with me. And my old preacher friend, if he would allow himself to become teachable, I have a lot of things I'd love to tell him, just to share with him, not to hold it over him. It's just so exciting. You know how it is when you find these truths regarding the Anglo-Israel truth, you want to share it with somebody. But, oh, I've been a Christian all these years. I know this, I know that. Anyway, know this. This is one bit of wisdom. This is a hobo stew pot of wisdom. Not only are you to be meek, the meek shall inherit the earth, to be teachable, but make sure that you don't just hold back from wanting to be taught by certain ones. If you got somebody there that can teach you, this man that was teaching me some about horses, he was quite a bit younger than I should know more about him, about horses, than he does. Nah, nonsense. If you want wisdom and truth, you go after it. Well, that's one part of the hobo stew thing that I wanted to give you. Now, the other thing I want to give you, I want to tell you about the gypsy. I told you this is just hobo stew. The gypsy. Oh, I've heard about that gypsy, the one that tried to poison your grandchild. No, this is a different gypsy. You know, I think if you if you're a gypsy, you got to take you're about in the category of those Cretans. Doesn't mean you can't become a Christian, but I won't get off on that. But it's like the talking about what Paul had to say about those Cretans. I don't have a lot of good to say about those gypsies. You got a lot to overcome if you got some of that gypsy in you. But I was working on the Slash J Slash as a young man. That was a ranch between Grand Lake and Granby, Colorado. And there was a couple of hay hands. We called them hay seeds that come drifting in needing a job. And one of them was a gypsy. He went by a certain name. But I found out that wasn't really his real name. I figured it really wasn't because he had another name tattooed on his hand. But he was kind of going by an alias because he had broken his parole. He had been in prison. I kind of befriended him, and I had a lot to learn from him. His father was half Hawaiian, and his mother was a gypsy. But he was supposedly some kind of kung fu woo-woo artist with his karate stuff and all that nonsense. I don't know if he was or wasn't, but I did learn a few things about. I think he really was. He had been in prison. But I remember him teaching something, and at the time, I really didn't receive it. But I thought, you know, this is something I want to teach my little Padawans. I call my Padawans the little children that I teach in Sunday school. We want to raise up our children to be wise. Jesus said that we're all to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I remember this gypsy boy. He was telling me about how his dad one time put him on the roof, and he held his hands out. He said, "Now jump to daddy, jump." And so he coaxed his son to jump into his daddy's arms. Kind of tough way of teaching a kid, and then when the kid jumped, he pulled his arms back and let him hit the ground. And then he said, "Don't you trust anybody." And you know, as sheep, we want to be trusting. That's one of the natures, I think, that Israelite sheep have. We want to be trusting. But I think it's something that we've got to start teaching our children in this day and age of the Esau Edomite tares that are in our land. And we have not recognized that it's Christian to be suspicious. When Jesus said Beware of the false prophet who comes to you in sheep's clothing. You can't do that without being suspicious. But some way or another, they've programmed us that that's not nice to be suspicious. And I'm not saying to put your child up on the roof and tell him to jump in daddy's arms and then pull back and let him run his head into the ground. I'm not saying that at all. Absolutely not. But I am saying is that that father was trying to teach that son to be suspicious. Now, one thing I learned about these gypsies, as I studied some about them, is they will never steal. They're stealers. But they will never steal cooked food. Now, why do you suppose that is? Because I found out the hard way they're poisoners, for one thing. And so they'll never steal cooked food. Talking about gypsies, I remember my dad telling me one time on the farm there in western Nebraska, there was a gypsy train that came through. His dad was gone. His mother saw the gypsy train coming through, and she gathered up all her kids because they were known to steal children. That's an Amalekite trait, isn't it? And he said they came in, they sometimes would barter and trade, and they had these wagons. And he said while one was talking to his mother on the porch, he heard the chickens out in the chicken coop. One was out there stealing chickens. He said his brother, that was his older brother, Clarence, my uncle Clarence, stepped out on the porch with a shotgun, a double gauge, and he pulled a double barrel, and he pulled down and he blew off a stovepipe off of one of those wagons that came in. And then he pointed out and said, "Now get out of here." And that's the way they dealt with the gypsies. They were thieves. Well, the reason he was teaching his son not to teach any trust anyone, because I think the father probably knew how untrustworthy he was. Anyway, it is wisdom to beware of the false prophet who comes to you in sheep's clothing. I have told you that they know how to lie in such a way that make you believe it's the truth. Now, Pastor Peters has been doing a series on deception. Now, I didn't lie to you so far in this study, but I did deceive you. And before I tell you how I've already deceived you, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Because we are like little children. We're like simple sheep. And we just don't suspect that someone would do that. We've got to start becoming more suspicious. Because the Bible is very clear. They come in and they introduce deceptive doctrines. This is what it says in Ephesians. It says, "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming." Now, I know Jason's sitting back there thinking, did my pastor lie? And I know there's some people down in Texas, they're thinking, did my preacher lie because he just said that he wasn't able to get on the radio this week because he was attending to ministry needs and prayers for the sick? Well, here's the deal. This week I took a little time off. I got the radio ranch and I got a little extra grass, going to get rid of a few cows, and I went down and got me some horses. But I hadn't been on the radio. I thought, well, how am I going to handle this? So one of them foals I have nicknamed Ministry Needs. And the other foal I have named Prayers for the Sick. So I could say I've been attending to Ministry Needs and Prayers for the Sick. And I think that worked, don't you, Jason? And I have been. That's why. So I didn't lie, but I deceived, you see. Now, you start watching these deceiving preachers. They're lying to you, and there's one thing in this hobo stew study that I want to give you that you need to get down. And that is, you've got to hold them to the Word of God. They're tricky, crafty little things, just like Ephesians 4, 14 speaks of. I want you to read a scripture with me in Acts 17:11. Now, Acts 17:11 tells you and I how we can have a noble mind. And if you want a noble mind, this is what you do. This is a scripture I underlined in my Bible, and I've referred you to it more than once. But if the people that are going to these Judeo-Christian churches would do this, it put a whole lot of these Amalekite dirty dog preachers who are empty talkers, as Paul talked about, that can say God and rattle on, it put them out of business. This is what it says in Acts. It says, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." So you need to always make sure that you examine the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Now, that's a point that I wanted to get across in this hobo's do thing. Then, in regards to this gypsy, I could tell you more about the gypsy story about that fella. I got to know him pretty well, and in fact, he had me be a best man. This is back when I was a young man. I didn't know better. I wasn't even Christian, actually. But he had me be a best man at with this woman that he married. I guess they had a little wedding thing there. And but he was no good. The Bible talks about worthless men. He was one of those worthless men. And the woman he married had a young daughter from another marriage. And let me put it this way. As years went by, that man didn't do right by that daughter. And one day he was just driving down the road in a combine. And that combine hit a bump. He always ran his equipment too fast. And he went up on this bridge and it went off to the side, tipped over. There was just a little bump in his head, and he was dead. He was a dead dog. That's what he was. He was a dirty dog. But you see, in those days, I thought, you know, we're all God's children. I didn't recognize that there were tares and wheat. Now, this is something I want to put out in this hobo stew thing, and that is, teach your children, and you and I, as children of God, had better learn it as well. Fear God. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let's read that scripture in this hobo stew study. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Well, the conclusion is fear God and keep his commandments. Now, a 40-year period concluded this week, and that Canaanite cockroach called Kennedy died this week. Old Ted Kennedy died. And it was no accident that he died in the 40th year since Mary Jo Kopechnik died. In fact, I have one of my Acres of Diamond men, and he's making a song. We talked about it, and I can't claim any title to the song in any way, except I did suggest the title. The title is Mary Jo Who? This Canaanite-controlled media that we have in our land today, they will eulogize this so-called Lion of the Senate, this dirty, whoremongering, murdering bastard, Kennedy, Canaanite. Now, I remember I learned a lot from Ray Kapp, archaeologist Ray Kapp. And over there in Ireland, they have a lot of problems between the Protestants and the Catholics. And he explained it to me that when Jeremiah went to Ireland, there were Canaanite sailors on that ship. And you have two different types of people over there in Ireland. And they're always a-warring. It's the Canaanites and the Israelites. Well, I don't think there's any question in my mind, maybe in yours, but that those Kennedys are a Canaanite group. Well, that Ted Kennedy, you know, more people have died in the back seat of Ted Kennedy's car than most anybody else has ever had with a handgun. He always wanted to get our guns from us. Well, Mary Jo Kopechnik, she died. She was the only child. She was an only daughter. And, well, I don't want to give too much because we're going to play the song on the radio and maybe even play it in church. I haven't even heard the song yet, but I know it's going to be a dandy of a song, and we're going to try to put a kind of a montage of a video with the song so people can remember how this whoremongering Ted Kennedy was involved in the murder of that little girl, Mary Jo Kopechnik, that he was having, let's just say that he wasn't being upright with her as well. Fear God and keep his commandments, because as it says in Ecclesiastes, you cast your bread on the water, it comes back to you. And this is one of the things I wanted to teach my little Padawans, that, and I teach it to all of us that are watching this Hobo Stew study. It's very important to know that God has promised to bring these things into judgment. 40, by the way, is a period, a time period. And myself, I don't think it's an accident that old Ted Kennedy died 40 years after that little girl died in the back seat of his car. It was turned upside down in that creek, and the diver that went in after her said that if somebody had just called them sooner, she was in an air bubble and breathing there in the car, in the roof of the car, he could have saved her. Fear God and keep his commandments, and all the things that have been done in secret are going to be made known. So what I've tried to cover so far is be humble, be teachable, be suspicious, fear God. One thing I'm trying to teach our young people is pray for wisdom. And I'm teaching them this: seek ye first the kingdom of God. In Matthew 7, 31 through 34, well, we'll try Matthew 7, the very last chapter. Matthew, there is no Matthew. Let me find it. I write these scriptures down for Jason. One thing that it's been a busy week for me, and one thing, it's been a good week for me because it makes me realize that I normally don't take much time off from the ministry. Let's try Matthew 7. My apologies there. We'll find it here. We'll try Matthew 5:31. But I've been so busy, I wanted to get ministry needs and prayers for the sick. That's just the nicknames I gave the colt so I could cover myself for being away from the radio mic. But I realized that this was good for you, preacher, because your people are busy. And Pharaoh's got you busy. He's got you busy making more bricks, gathering your own straw. And I know it's harder for you to get to the Word and have prayer time. And sometimes it's hard for me. But when I take time out, like I did this week, to tend to a few things around the ranch and picking up a couple horses, I realize, boy, it's so easy to let the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, as Jesus talked about in Matthew 13, choke the Word. And we need, brothers and sisters in Christ, to make sure that we always seek first the kingdom of God. If nothing else, before you climb out of bed, you can say a prayer. You can say the Lord's Prayer and give some time to the Lord. But when it comes to things in life and you've got to make decisions, make sure you have these scriptures I'm going to read now be a principle in your life. Let's read them. It says, and it was said, okay, is this Matthew 5? Let's try Matthew 6:31. Well, that's good. I've messed up about twice now. So you know I'm telling you the truth, at least about this, and that is that I had to come in and put this scriptural study and insight together on the fly. Let's try it again. Here we go. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Hallelujah. Well, we're about out of time, and I hope you found that this hobo stew time was worth your time. Scriptural study and insight time. I really enjoy them myself. I like to sit down and tell you stories and look at the scriptures. Was that any good, Jason? Good. Well, of course, he's got to say that because he's one of the Radio Ranch Wranglers, but I think he's telling the truth. I know this. Pastor Peters loves you and loves to tend to the sheep and feed the sheep. And I pray for you, and I ask that you would pray for him. One other piece of wisdom I want to give you. Honor the prophet, because if you don't, he'll offend you. Think about that. And a lot of people are offended with truth. I try to give you the truth. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I sure did. And I think that there is so much truth in these scriptural insight and studies that Pastor Peters did such a long time ago. And it just reminds me of how, you know, we need to continue to seek ye first the kingdom of God and put that first and foremost in our lives. And I hope that you're doing that. And we challenge you to keep doing that. And one of the things that I've been encouraged to buy is just the response on, you know, our Spotify and our Rumble channels that we've been working on lately, and the feedback that we're getting off of those. Praise God. It's we're reaching a different audience, more people, and we're excited about that. We're also excited that hopefully by next week we will be broadcasting live on Rumble here from the LaPorte Church of Christ. That's my goal, is to have that up and running so that that audience can also just join us live. And from there, we're going to go to, you know, hopefully we'll be doing it on the YouTube and also on Twitter. So that is going to come down the pipe as soon as I can get some of this computer stuff. That's one of the things that's been happening, is trying to upgrade some of these computers so that I can integrate everything and make that possible. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the messages that we've been able to restore. The one that we're going to have today is Richard Kelly Hoskins, Wolf and Sheep, Part 1, and just a phenomenal message. And, you know, it was preached 30-some years ago, close to 40 years ago, and I really believe that these messages were meant to be put out and broadcast on the airways and seen in places that they've never been seen before, and that time is today. As you listen to these messages and watch these messages, I just encourage you to pray for these messages to go wherever they're supposed to. That's our prayer here, and we do thank you folks out there for keeping our efforts in your prayers. As we go to the part of communion, as I said earlier, we're going to do things a little bit different, but have a short communion message that I wanted to start with, and then we're going to have Richard Kelly Hoskins with Wolf and Sheep.
So we'll start. I just have a spirit-led urge to read this before we sing our next song. Malachi, and it says, we read, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. And you will tread down the wicked," those are the snakes, by the way, "for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes, ordinances, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. And the Israel that is gathered in this promised land will one day turn back to that law. And this church will do all it can to make it proclaimed." Amen. I saw the light. I hope you'll see it. Let's sing it. I saw the light. I'm going to sing it like that guy did a long time ago.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't glad my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like an angel in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy.
You may be seated. I hope those of you out there that join us, I hope you are singing those songs with us. Because the Lord wants to be sung to. Amen. And praised and worshiped. What we just did, by the way, when we come together to praise Him, and to sing to Him, pray to Him, what we've done is, dare I say it, we have balanced the energy centers. And it is a known fact that people live longer that go to church and worship God. Did you know that? It's just a fact. And they're healthier. So, having said that, I want to say this. I pointed out at the beginning, as we go into this portion of service dealing with communion, that this church teaches a truth that's not too popular. That America is in Bible prophecy. And that there are the covenant people of Scripture. God kept His word. They formed a multitude of nations. They became as the sand of the sea. And they are those that we teach about that are not these Antichrist Jews. Now, we have an Antichrist Jew-controlled media and entertainment industry in our land. We have deficits in our land. We have corrupt politics in our land. There's a lot of problems in our land. Amen? But I want to tell you, as we go into communion, as we go over to Matthew chapter 24, what the biggest problem in our land is. We've been doing a series from this pulpit in the last many weeks on deception. We're going to go to Matthew 24, by the way. And we're going to look at verse 12. But before we get there, I'm going to say that as we've done this series on deception, we've addressed the land issue and the chain of cause and effect. Rapidly, as I go into communion, I will give it to you. And you might say, well, what does this have to do with communion? Communion is a time when we come together to let it be known that we care. I'll explain more on that in a moment. The economic social system is determined by the political system. We know the next band of political bandits are going to affect our wallets in one way or another. It affects our economy. Economic social system is affected by the political system, which is affected by what? The religion of the people. There was a time when it would have been political suicide to have been in favor of homosexuality or abortion. Now you can get elected running on that. Why? Because the religion of the people has changed. How's it changed? There's a reason it's changed. All these churches that are out there, I've already pointed out to you in this series, are populated with preachers that are Amalekite Edomites, lawless as can be. Now, the religion of the people affects the political system, which affects the economic social system. But what affects the religion of the people? The religious leaders. And what is it that determines the religious leaders? And Jeremiah is the one that said it. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule on their own authority. And my people love to have it so. So the people are the ones that are responsible. And Paul said we would be in a time, and we're in that time right now, when the people would heap to themselves teachers after their own desires, what they want to hear. If you're one of those people, you're in the wrong place. Find you another church. I don't even want you here. You'll come here if you want to hear the truth, and we'll give you the truth best we can. Amen? But the truth is, people haven't for a long time wanted to hear it. They wanted to hear the lies. Now, America doesn't have a political problem. America doesn't have an economic problem. America doesn't have a problem with the president. Frankly, do you care if I just pause here a little bit? I want you to pray for the pastor, because I can see a problem coming in the future for him. So I just, this doesn't seem like the right place maybe, but I want to tell you about it. You see, that your pastor has been what they call on the fringe edge, outside the box. They call it an extremist. And it occurred to me just the other day, and having a conversation, what morning I was talking with two different people, talking to a corn farmer friend of mine, an old high school buddy, and out of the blue, he started talking about the president. He says, I think that guy hates America. He says, you know, I think that guy's a Muslim. And he's talking about it, and I says, you know, you're starting to sound like me. Now, that's scary. Anyway, we chuckled about it. And then the next conversation I had was with a man that's a businessman. He's been a radio broker for years and one I've known many years, very successful man. He said, made this statement. He says, Pastor, he says, I used to think you were on the fringe edge. But he says, now I see that you were just a foreigner of telling the truth of what it was. And then it occurred to me, I ought to be thanking God for Obama. Because he's making me look good and credible. And then I got scared. People are awakening. And I realized, you know what's going to happen to your preacher? He's going to become mainstream. And he doesn't know how to be mainstream, so pray for him. But I tell you what, when Jesus becomes mainstream, I'll learn to be mainstream as well. Amen? And praise God. You know why? Because people are coming to the truth that America doesn't have a problem in economics. It doesn't have a problem with politicians. It doesn't have a problem with the Federal Reserve. It doesn't have a problem in all these areas. Let me tell you what the problem that America has. It has a sin problem. Amen. A sin problem. And the Bible clearly tells us that sin hardens the heart of the people. And if you want to change that whole chain, all you have to do is change the heart. And once the heart of the people change, it's done through repentance, then the people change. And when the people change, they'll change religious leaders. And when religious leaders change, the religion will change. And when religion will change, I'm going to tell you something, those politicians will be out of office. Amen? And then you're going to have an economy that changes, a social system that changes. I praise God for the hard times that are coming on the people, because it's a time when people will begin to listen to the prophet. Well, listen to me, friends. Sin hardens your heart. And that's what Matthew 24:12 says. We read it. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. You see, love emanates from the heart. And because lawlessness, that's another word for sin, because sin is a transgressor. That's why they're feeding you all this sin, filthy Amalekite dog puke on your TV screens and in your movie houses. So you'll sit there and laugh at their filthy jokes. You'll indulge yourself in their steal, kill, and destroy themes, because they do. That's their lifestyle. And as you do, it hardens your heart. And when your heart becomes hardened, guess what? You don't care. You don't care about none but you and yourself. You don't care what kind of example you are to your family, to your church, or to your friends, or to your society. In fact, you don't even care about your country. And the difference between this church and the other churches is, not only do we teach you that your country is in Scripture, we and this preacher that preaches to you care about our country. There was a time people used to love their country. Amen? And then their fellow man. Isn't it something, with all this love burping that comes out of these churches today, that there's so little love in society today? Amen? Well, communion reminds us of the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if that means that I got to give whatever I got to give, it's nice compared to what he gave us. Amen? And then we begin to care. And that crust on that heart begins to crack and crumble. And become soft and malleable. And we begin to love country, our fellow man, and when that happens, the land is healed. How can people become so cold that they don't care about a little lamb? And that's what Jesus was in God's eyes. When the prophet John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." God doesn't ask so very, very, very much of us, but he does ask us to remember him and don't forget him. And Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this, and that's what we do. We take communion. It's closed communion here, only for those that are members. And you become a member of the body of Christ when you repent as a believer, are baptized, that is, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of sins. You receive the gift of the Spirit. And then he adds you to the body, which is his church. And if you want to continue to abide in that body, you partake of communion. And so we do so today. I have prayed over this loaf and cup already, but I do again. Oh, Heavenly Father, I know you heard. I want all the healing. Oh, Malachi 4 talks about how you shall heal the land. I want that healing for the saints, the body of believers that partake today. There are broken hearts. There are health that need healing, hearts that need healing, families that need healing, mending that needs to be taken place. Oh, Heavenly Father, I want all the blessings. Now, I have a right to come to you and tell you what I want. I want it for the saints. I want them to prosper even as their soul prospers. And I want that health and prosperity to flow as they eat this body, this unleavened bread, the body of Christ. As we do, we judge that body and know that it took upon not only but our diseases. And so we eat as we're told to, with that in mind. We look at our own lives and we turn away from the sin. We repent. We know that you will be true to your word and forgive when we do. And so having done that, we now eat in the name of God. Bless us as we do. In Jesus' name, you may partake. Heavenly Father, we drink of the fruit of the vine, the precious blood that washes and cleanses. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, you may drink.
There's a great coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Oh,